doubts almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace."
Amen. Amen.
Mine's taken from Mark chapter 2, verses 1-12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of his friends. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. Jesus was a roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Our planes there, and then while the conference was happening, we heard that way off in the distance, in Iceland, a volcano had blown up. It was called the Eyjafjallajökull volcano. And it was seemingly a long way away and wouldn't affect us. Until all of a sudden, they said, "It's too dangerous to fly aeroplanes anywhere in Western Europe at the moment, because the ash is going to destroy the engines, make it dangerous to fly." And so what do you do when you're thousands of miles away from home and wanting to get home? Well, quickly we got on the internet, worked out what we needed to do, took trains and went on sleepers, and we lived in Scotland at the time. So we made it all the way up to Hook of Holland and got a ferry. They used to have ferries, believe it or not, taking cars and people from there right up to Scotland. And it was an overnighter, and Karen and I thought, wow, We are so blessed that even though this enormous interruption has happened, we can still manage to make it home. Sometimes the interruptions in our lives are so enormous that even though we want to get home, we want to get back on track, it seems as though all the odds are against us. There was a popular rabbi, a teacher, back in almost 2,000 years ago. And like lots of the teachers, they had a gathering, a group of followers that would listen to what they said. And this one was particularly popular. Believe it or not, his teaching, it wasn't formal sermons. It was just a teaching about life and about giving stories, about analogies. We call them parables. And as he was talking, it's more and more people wanted to get into the place where he was at the time. So much so that when a poor guy who'd been paralyzed for years wanted to get in and to meet Jesus and to be able to experience some healing from him, just couldn't get anywhere near. His friends tried to barge their way through, you can imagine, but couldn't get anywhere near to where they were going. And they stood back and they said, "What on earth are we going to do?" And they devised a plan. There's always an escape plan. There's always an alternative. When it seems as though it's impossible to come into the presence of Jesus, there's always a way around. And these friends said, "Let's hop up onto the roof, split open the tiles, rip off the covering, and see if we can lower our friend down to where Jesus is." Now, that's a creative idea, isn't it? I'm not quite sure what the house owner thought of the idea, but they put their plan into action. And when that man started coming down through the roof, every eye was on him. In those days, they said, there are two types of people. They're the good people, and they're the ones that are healthy and well, like all of you. And then there are the bad people. They're the ones who are ill and sick, and they are experiencing the curse of God. And so what on earth they were thinking was this sick man being put down into Jesus' presence when everybody knew he must have done something really bad in his life, that he was not well enough to be able to walk. But his friends knew better. His friends had heard stories about this teacher, this rabbi called Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, who was able to do wonderful things for people. And so, as he was lowered down there, Jesus looked into the face of this guy and wanted to know, what did this man need? He could see he was a cripple. It was pretty obvious that he was there to get healed. But Jesus looked at him, and the first thing he said to him, and I wish I could do it in your accent, because I think Jesus spoke in a Glaswegian accent, all right? Or perhaps he spoke in a Ghanaian accent. It was not the local accent of the time, all right? He spoke in an accent that was out of town. And he looked into his face, and he said, "Mate," if you don't mind me using that phrase, you know, he treated people with respect, you know, not condescending. You know. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." And immediately, all of the so-called religious teachers of the time were taken aback, because there's only one who can forgive, and that's God in heaven. And they were just absolutely shocked. What is this guy saying? Is he saying that he is God? You can't do that. That's blasphemy. We're going to make sure that his life comes to a rapid end. We can't cope with that. And Jesus, hearing the murmurings of what was going on, said, "You're kind of expecting me to heal this man. But I know that this man needs something more than physical healing. He needs his heart mending. He needs spiritual healing. He needs to be made whole inside before he becomes well outside. He needs to be connected with a God who loves him, who he thinks doesn't really love him anymore because of what he has done and because of the illness that he's got. He needs to know that God loves him so much that he has forgiven him his sins." And just like that illustration I showed to the children, when all the redness, the dirt, the mess in his life received the words of Jesus as he poured his love into his life and said, "Your sins are forgiven," that man received a cleansing, a purifying. Something electric went through his body as he discovered what it meant to be at peace with God, a God who really loves him and does not condemn him. That man, when he heard those words, a face I can imagine of faith came over him, a smile came onto his lips. And Jesus said to the guys who were doubting all around, he says, "So that you know that what I am saying is true about his sins being forgiven and about who I am, I'm going to tell this man." And right there and then, he says, "Rise up and walk." It's hard to imagine that because most of us have not had experiences like that where we've seen miracles take place before our eyes. We doubt the whole thing. We say, "Oh, that's just a bunch of stories from a long time ago." No, it wasn't. It was testified by thousands of people over the life of Jesus that these events took place, that the power of God used him and enabled him not only to forgive sins, but to be healed as well. And so this man started to feel the strength coming back into his legs. And Jesus reached out his arms, I'd like to imagine, and he stood on his feet and he walked out of that building. Imagine, through the crowds of people whose mouths were dropping till they almost touched the floor. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. This man that they'd all seen as a beggar for years, crippled, was walking again. That is what the words of Jesus can do for every one of us. Your situation might not be that you feel like a cripple. Perhaps you've got some little issue going on inside you that you don't talk about to anyone else, but privately you try and get it fixed. And like the woman who was desperately seeking after Jesus, was concerned about this crowd, the same crowd issue that we had before. And this woman eventually managed to jostle her way along to where Jesus was walking along. And she said, "There's no way that Jesus is going to want to talk to me, because according to our traditions, I am unclean. I'm an untouchable. I've got some ailment wrong with me that makes me separated from everyone else." And she felt despised and hurt. But somehow she knew in her heart that if she could just touch the edge of Jesus' garment, just a little tassel that hung off from his garment, that somehow she would be healed. And as Jesus was walking along with his disciples, talking about whatever they were talking about, suddenly something happened and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And they were wondering, "Oh, Jesus, you're talking rubbish. You know, everyone's touching you at the moment." No, Jesus said, "Somebody with faith is touching me now, or words to that effect. And he turned around, and there on the ground, I'd like to imagine, was this woman cowering. Because she had experienced an incredible sensation inside. And she knew that she was healed. But she dared not say anything, except Jesus looked at her. And Jesus smiled. Unfortunately, one of the pictures that we often have of Jesus growing up is of a pretty stern Jesus who was telling people, you've got to live like this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to obey that law. And yet, what I love about the Chosen series is that it shows the picture of Jesus as I think he really was. A smiling Jesus, a friendly Jesus. One who wants to do the very best possible for us. And when he looked into this woman, go in peace, he said. Your faith has made you whole. And that's all it means to follow Jesus. It's to say, I by myself realize I'm broken. There's stuff about me I can't fix. That messiness in my cup that I want to try and clear away with my own methods, it doesn't seem to work. And all we do is to say, Jesus, the same Jesus that came into the life of those two people, the cripple and the woman bent double, you know, with pain and suffering. And we say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to say those words, your sins are forgiven. And I want you to live with me and to experience the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, as we say now, into our lives forever. Because those two people that were touched by Jesus not only experienced a physical healing, but had a spiritual transformation that led to eternal life. Life now, life well, life healthy, life happy, and a life that was promised for eternity. That is what Jesus has promised for us. Our friends today have had interruptions in their lives. Their lives were going along well, everything seemed to be fine, until tragedies happened in their lives. You've heard a bit about Tom's, and you know, Emmanuel will tell you more about some of the difficulties in his life if he wants later. And in those interruptions, rather than being a like a slide downhill into a pit where we just wallow in suffering, and they are an opportunity. Interruptions become opportunities for God to break through in our lives and for us to learn how to discover his love and to be part of his family. Those disciples who were sitting in Jesus' presence, standing perhaps in that room at the time when the friends started pulling back the rafters, so to speak, and the roofing and the tiles. They thought this was just going to be another normal day where Jesus was going to say some lovely things, lots of people were going to say, yeah, that's wonderful, and they'd all go home at the end of the day. But there was this dramatic interruption where the roof was torn open and a direct passage to Jesus was found. And that's what happens in our lives. These interruptions are opportunities to tear off the roof that is separating us from a relationship with God, that makes us think that everything is going normally and it was all right. And God says, it's okay to do the dramatic, to do something out of the ordinary, because when we allow ourselves to be lowered into the presence of Jesus, we experience the joy of his healing. And it's that joy that Emmanuel and Tom are celebrating today as they are getting baptized. And what I want to do now is to show another song that is a physical demonstration from the film Chosen of those two stories of that disabled person coming into the presence of Jesus through this roof being broken open, and also